This is the Jacob Sermon Show.
Here's Settle, claps his hands from the right half, looks to his left, lobs it up to the end zone. Robinson up in the air and makes the grab in the end zone at the W. Sermon claps his hands, spins out to the left and dumps it off just in time. Great play. Stewart at the 40. Breaks the tackle at the 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Into the end zone. Darius Stewart.
Presented by Paul Dovenbarger, Shelter Insurance.
6 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Welcome in. Starting the week off on a great note, sitting with Jacob Sermon, the quarterback for the UNC Bears. Jacob, my friend, how are you, dude? Good to see you.
Doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Feeling okay? Feeling good? Yeah. I mean, you're getting recouped after a crazy weekend for you guys. And you ultimately end up losing 64-21. But I think you and I were kind of texting over the weekend, too. Feels like maybe this offense kind of starting to get some rhythm, starting to get some momentum.
Yeah, I mean that was a very challenging defense. Mm. I give them a lot of credit. Their front seven was good, but as far as what we can control, there's a lot of positives that we can take away from that game. Just as far as the offensive execution goes, playmakers stepping up, making their plays, taking shots down the field and connecting on those. There's a lot to be encouraged by.
Yeah, and again, you're going up against a Washington State team that is a ranked team and will probably only get a little bit better throughout the course of the season too. So, again, a new offense, new system, all of that, and this is kind of what you see in that non-conference portion of the schedule. It's more like you're trying to figure yourself out a little bit, right? Especially when you're under a new head coach.
Mm-hmm. There's an identity to every team, and a lot of the power of a non-conference schedule is kind of identifying that, figuring out what that is, what the strengths of the team are, and how we can practice game plan and highlight those strengths.
Yeah, and I think that's what you're starting to see on the offensive side of the ball, too. I mean, you ended up 171 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks. Happy about that, right? Decent numbers for you in a game where you knew, hey, we're going up against a very good Washington State Cougars team and edge rushers, I mean, monsters of dudes over there. And ultimately, you came away with a pretty solid game.
Yeah, we got to give the O-line a lot of credit. If you think about this kind of crazy stat or whatever, but we had all 5 O-linemen were starting in different positions that game. So we didn't have a single guy that played the same position as last week. And so a lot of adversity up on the front, and I thought they handled that phenomenally. Guys stepping up in different roles and making plays, doing their job. It's really, really encouraging to see.
And talk to us a little bit about that. Is that just more, hey, trying to change it up a little bit, see where guys are more comfortable, maybe what they're going, what side of the ball or what position they're going to excel at when it comes to that offensive line?
Yeah, there's a lot of that. We have got some guys coming back from some injury stuff, being able to kind of step into a role again, and that can move people around to find better fits and strengths for them personally. So there's a lot of different reasoning behind it, and I don't get too much involved in that. I just say, I'm happy.
Whatever it is, man, we'll go out there and we'll figure it out as we go. Yeah. You're done with non-conference play. We're going to get into more of this Washington State contest. But how about your guy David Afari just lighting it up? Man, you said playmaker stepping up. That's got to be such a confidence booster for you guys when you start to see those playmakers out there making some plays.
Absolutely. I mean, I think we've known we have solid running backs, but I think they took a step from solid to really showing what they can showcase. And that's going to be really encouraging. That's going to be a fundamental part of our offense going down the road, is being able to balance a little bit of that, our passing game with a strong run game.
Talk to us about what you're seeing. Obviously, you seeing this offense for Washington State on the other side. Cameron Ward, that's a guy that, I don't know, man, he might be talked about in some of the big conversations throughout the course of the year. He's putting together a great season so far. We've seen him go up against 2 Colorado-based teams with you guys and the Colorado State Rams. So we've been up close to those situations. And 4 touchdowns for him, 327 yards. He's one of maybe the top quarterbacks going on right now at that FBS level.
Yeah. No, I mean, he's playing crisp, lights-out football, pushes the ball on the field. He has playmakers on the outside that are doing a good job making plays for him. But that Washington State team is a good team. I mean, the Pac-12 is deep right now, and I think it's going to be really fun to see how it shakes up down the road.
It's weird how it goes. I know we talked about this a little bit last week, but Pac-12 on their the Washington State is still one of those Pac-2 teams or whatever, but it just goes to show you, man. You never know what's going to happen in a year where the Pac-12 is dissolving and, as we know it, going away. Just happens to be their best year, maybe ever.
Yeah,
it's, collectively,
it's crazy.
It's nuts. For you guys, you know, Washington State gets the jump. They go out. They go up 22-0. What I liked about what you guys were able to do offensively. You didn't go in the corner and cower. You didn't back down or anything like that. You said, hey, we got to get out there. We have to start seeing what our offense can do. We know starting 22-0 is not ideal. But the fact that you guys were able to piece together some drives throughout the course of that game, again, has to be so encouraging. And I'm sure Coach Ed Lamb was trying to pick out some of those positives for you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, at the end of the half, we have a two-minute drive to go down and score, put points up before half. There's a lot of execution that has to go into a two-minute job like that. The time's ticking down. We have different shot mentalities, different control-the-clock mentalities, and seeing all those pieces come together was encouraging. And then putting together multiple long, strong drives in the second half, just I think, build a lot of confidence with the guys as far as play calling, execution, and kind of what this offense can continue to develop as.
Yeah, it's easy if you just look at box scores and you just look at the record so far, 0-3 to start the year, but there's some positives you can take from that. Do you guys feel like, let's just talk about it from your end, the offensive side of the ball, does it feel like every week you're just, things are starting to open up a little bit more, things are starting to click for this team just a little bit more?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the mistakes and the areas to improve are getting narrower and smaller each week. And this is, I mean, the Big Sky is a competitive conference. Mm-hmm. The margin of error is going to be tight. But I think we're rapidly closing in on some of those margins where we can execute like we have been and then continue to make strides.
It's a big weekend coming up for you guys, too. You're going up, starting Big Sky Conference play, going up against Idaho State. Idaho State lost last week 41-17 to Northern Iowa. But this is one of those games where you guys can look at it and say, all right, we're in our conference now. Now's the kind of, as you call it, the second season. You know, you're getting into that mode. And you know there's some big opportunities coming up, starting up again this weekend.
Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of times the record resets, if you will, you know, going into conference play. Everyone's 0-0, and so, you know, taking each week by week and preparing like it's every other team that you would prepare for, I think we have a great chance to go out and showcase a lot of where we can kind of close the gap on some of our conference play this week.
What does this week look like for you guys now? I mean, does it change at all? I mean, again, conference to non-conference to conference, or is it the exact kind of same business as usual every single day? Has that same structure as it did last week?
Yeah, it's gonna be the same as usual. Obviously, preparing for a different opponent, different stakes on the line, if you will, but. It should be very similar to what we would normally in a game prep week look like.
When do you really start diving into that film study? Like, when? What is today's Monday? When do you really start breaking into that?
I'll break it in today.
Yeah.
So Sunday's usually a flush day for me. I watch the game Saturday night before I go to sleep. Watch it again on Sunday. We go over it as a team, in unit meetings and film and everything like that. And then Monday morning, I'll do my morning activities, whatever. And then I'll break down. I'll probably watch all three of their games today, and then some of their situational stuff.
When you're talk to us a little bit about that, because I'm always fascinated by film study. You know, some people hear film study and they just think you're going back and we're just rewatching the game. But there's just so many. You're replaying. You're going back. You're watching different plays. You're seeing different coverages or different attacks on the defensive side of the ball. Take us into that world a little bit, Jacob. What film study looks like for you as a quarterback?
That is the real difference maker and separator for my position, at least. I'll start the week off. I'll just watch the games. I'll go to our cutups. They'll have just the defensive plays. I don't really watch the offense at all, actually, ever. So I'll watch the opponent's defense versus whatever offense they're playing. So this week, Idaho State, I'll watch all their first three games, and that just gives me a big overview. I can get peaks of personnel that might catch my eye. I'll get overall ideas of their shell coverage, what they like to run, and this and that. And then going into a Tuesday practice, I'll go normal down, so I'll go first and second down and different areas of the field. Wednesdays, I'll dive into third downs and red zone. So I'll go third downs, high red, low red, goal line. And then Thursday, I'll go into some 2 minutes, some backed up, some overview, get into some maybe, some exotic blitzes if they get into that empty formations. And then by that time, I have a really, really good idea of what we're looking for.
So there's hours of footage that you're sitting down and watching throughout the course of the week.
Yeah, and I think I analyze it and digest it pretty quickly. It's not like I'm just sitting in a man cave all day long just devouring it. I I watch what I need to watch. I have a really good understanding. I think our coaches do a great job preparing us, giving us good looks in practice. So by game time, I know exactly what I'm going to see.
What's standing out so far? And again, there's a lot of studies still to come and kind of installing some things throughout the course of the week through practice. But when you look at this opponent in Idaho State, lost 41-17 last week to Northern Iowa. What kind of jumps out at the paper, at least the film or whatever, right now at this stage?
Yeah, I got to dive more into their personnel. I know they have a group of scrappy guys that will give maximum effort. I've known their head coach, and he's a great guy. He's gonna really put together a quality team. They run an exotic defense. They'll go what I've heard it called star. I've heard it called the old what is it called? It's basically ideally it's a three safety defense. So
okay.
It's a 4-2-6, if you will. There's a lot more DBs, and some of those exotic rotations. They'll get their safeties in the box, but they'll also spread out into some exotic drop eight looks. So it forces you, if you're going to throw the ball, to find tight windows. But if you're going to run the ball, different key checks, it makes some of the identification for the line can be challenging.
Now, when I just hear that, too, when I hear there's a lot of DBs, you think, okay, maybe this is going to be a game where you can really get the ground game going. Am I looking at it in too much of a basic sense of the word there?
Yes and no. I mean, DBs in the sense of safeties in the run fit is not uncommon. A lot of times people like box safeties to roll into that situation. Because if you're rolling late, a lot of lineman combos will be up to a, slant to a D lineman and attack to the linebacker. If you have a safety roll into the box, oftentimes it's hard for them to climb up to a safety and secure a block against a more athletic guy like that. So sometimes that can be challenging in the run game. And also a lot of times that defensive structure is ideal for different down distances. So if you're a shot heavy or pass heavy team on first down, that can make it challenging to be behind the sticks on second and third, forcing you to get into more drop back pass situations rather than just running the ball, which plays into that defensive strength.
I love hearing this stuff too, because so much of it, we watch the game, we listen to the game, and just kind of hearing what's going on in your brain, leading up to the week and then seeing how it all maybe comes together that weekend. It really is it's a full process, man. We see you guys suit up on Saturdays, but there's just so much that goes into it on a weekly basis.
Yeah, no, it's a full-blown business, and there's a lot of time and energy and man hours that are put into preparing each of us to have the best shot and the best preparation to go out in the field and execute.
What was it like at Pullman there, so going up against Washington State? I know, again, local ties for you, getting a chance to see some family and everything, but what was kind of the whole experience like if you kind of had to bottle that up?
It was a lot like I remember it. I think that stadium, that environment's awesome. That's a true Pac-12, Power 5 school where you're feeling like, man, I'm in it right now. My family being there was awesome. I get to see them rarely, and so being able to see a lot of them there that game was really exciting for me. I've had some fond memories there, so just kind of bringing back to Washington and that time zone and that stadium and that whole environment, it's a full circle moment for me.
Now that you're done with the non-conference play, I mean, what has stood out the most for you? Three games, and now you move on, and Big Sky play starts this coming weekend. What are some of the key things that you look back on and say, we did this really well, we started to get better here, maybe not so much here? What are some of those notes you can give us?
Yeah, I would say we've had a key word last couple weeks called strain. And regardless of the outcome of the game, regardless of where we're at, up, down, tied, it doesn't really matter. What does your strain on the field look like? And I think I have to commend this team and each individual, praise them as highly as I can, just due to their individual strain, never given the offense, especially. I think the O-line, the skill positions, the running backs, the tight ends. I don't think if you watch the film, you put it on, there's never a lull or a letdown moment where, like, all right, this game's out of reach, let's just mm-hmm. call the dogs off and coast it in. And there's a lot of strain, individual strain, that encourages me, because I know this is a long season and there's a lot of games that are won in the fourth quarter. Games are won on a one possession game or one single play, and guys that are straining like that, give me the confidence that when the game comes down to those moments, they're there to make those plays.
Well, and again, you say it's a long season. We've seen this. We see this in college football every single year. We could see a team get blown out. We could see them not score any points, whatever, or the other way around. And then by the time we get to week five, week six, it's a completely different football team. And I think that's more true, even especially with a new coach into the building up a new system here. By the time we get to week six or seven, it could be a completely different football team than what we saw last week against Washington State. State or Incarnate Word or any of those first non-conference games.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a lot of growth and maturity that comes to a team. I think we're right on track to kind of developing that as we go.
The Bears are starting up Big Sky Conference play going up against Idaho State this weekend. It's a 4 o'clock kickoff on the road for the Bears. So we'll put the finishing touches on that with Jacob coming up next. You're listening to the Jacob Sermon Show presented by Paul Dovenbarger at Shelter Insurance here on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Have Friday night plans? We do. KFKA's Game of the Week, presented by A1 Organics.
Hey, this is Matt Gaeter, color commentator for UNC Bears football and former UNC offensive lineman. You're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Fun call by the guys. There's Matt Gaeter there. You just heard Blake Olson, Matt Gaeter. It's fun getting Matt Gaeter's perspective because he played offensive line for the UNC Bears and having him be on that broadcast. So I've really enjoyed it. You don't get to hear that, of course, Jacob. You're playing the game that they're broadcasting. But I know the guys love connecting with you, and that's such a huge part of putting together a fun broadcast is just getting to know you guys as players and knowing the coaching staff. On the pregame show is great. We heard from several players and several coaches, and it just seems like, again, there is this common goal of mine. Okay, you knew you had a tough non-conference schedule, but now it's, you know, second season. We call it that for a reason because it really is. Now's when it really becomes a little, again, it's not to say the Washington State game and Incarnate Word and those games aren't intense, but you know what this is about now. It's all about what you do in your conference.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. I think a lot of guys are excited to kind of not turn that page, but to refocus on an opponent this week and go out there and execute.
Texter here, how does Jacob feel about playing in a dome?
Fun. I mean, shoot, I've played in a lot of domes. I've played in a lot of open arenas. Would have preferred to play them late in November when it's, you know, a little more useful.
Yeah.
But I have nothing against
it. Is there a big difference, like, once the game actually starts up? Or the way it sounds, the way it feels, the air feels differently, nothing like that?
It feels a little, not dull. It's, like, dead. If you will, the air just feels like it's. I remember we played at Idaho last year in that dome, and that felt it was. It gets warm for sure. Warm. The turf usually I feel like is a little different. There's never any moisture on it, so it's always a little bit coarser.
So okay,
turf burns in domes hurt a lot worse. If you get down to that.
Interesting. That's the stuff I never even really thought about on that side of things, how there could be just a little bit of a field. I always just assume it was the other stuff, not necessarily the field portion, but that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Folks, you're listening to the Jacob Sermon Show presented by Shelter Insurance. Paul Dovenbarger over there. The Bears get set to take on Idaho State coming up this weekend. We'll have that game for you, too. 4 o'clock. 3 o'clock was when the Blue and Gold pregame show starts up, so we're really looking forward to that. It's just we know how important it is. We can talk about it until we're blue in the face, but now it's in front of you guys, and you know what's ahead, and you got Idaho State, and then a couple of home games after that, Weber State and Sacramento State. So this Big Sky Conference, Jacob, we talk about it. Man, there's always some really good teams that are having big wins, got big wins over the weekend. A few of them did. So we know how complicated this conference can be.
Yeah. I mean, you got to have a lot of respect for the teams. And that Sac State win over Stanford was huge. Weber State kept it competitive with Utah. There's a lot of good teams. And I think, at least my mentality, I think a lot of the folks on the team is trying to keep it one week at a time, execute what we can do, control what we can control. And then I think, kind of give the rest up to God and let him kind of guide us, you know, as every step of the way.
How big would this be if you guys can find a way, especially winning on the road? It's going to be a difficult task. And again, anytime you talk about this conference, it's a difficult task. But on the road, starting this out, just how huge could that possibly be for you guys if you can find a way to get that first conference win?
I think it'd be huge. I think every team needs to know they have it in them. You know, everyone, I believe, I've never had a doubt. But there's a lot of guys that are either new to college football, new to having coaching turnovers and changes like that. And so to kind of build that confidence from a week one in conference play, I think will be huge.
What's the message been like with Ed Lamb? I think I asked you that last week. But now that we're putting a bow on the non-conference portion of the schedule, what is that message like from Coach Lamb?
It's discovering and deciphering who's all aboard and who's leaning on the fence. And I think I don't blame people that aren't sure, because, you know, I was a freshman once. I've been part of coaching turnovers, and there's a lot of uncertainties in there. But if you want to win and if you want to contribute, even if you want to be a player-led team, the buy-in has to be complete. You have to have a core group of guys that are all about it, and the guys that are lingering on the edge have to be pulled in not excused. I think everyone on the team wants to be on the team and needs to be on the team. But if you want to have a role, I think you have to be bought in. You have to love it so much that the sacrifices that you make naturally in the game are no questions asked. And so I think we're really discovering a lot about that. And he's encouraging and pulling along with the leaders, as many guys as we can, to really fully buy in.
And talk to us a little bit about that buy-in thing, because again, you hear that stuff. What does that entail? I mean, when you obviously you're going to have guys that maybe just go through the motions or whatever, but when you're talking about buy-in, what does that look like for you?
Buy-in to me, it's a challenging sport. It's a physically painful mm-hmm. sport. It's a time-consuming sport. It's an emotionally draining sport. There's a lot of investments on your part that you don't see an immediate return on, and I think being bought in is projecting those sacrifices right now and investing in right now without any immediate returns, and trusting the process that you'll reap the benefits at the end of the day. And if you can't do that, then either A, you're not dreaming big enough, you don't have enough faith, or you aren't willing to sacrifice enough for the program and the team. And I never get mad at these kids that don't fully see, and I don't think this team is amazing. I think we have a lot of guys that are bought in, a lot of guys that are in the right path, and a lot of guys that are leaders and want to be leaders. And so I think we're headed in the right direction. But I've been a part of teams where, there's guys that aren't bought in, and sometimes they're for the right reasons. They're scared. They're not sure. They don't have enough faith in themselves. They don't prepare enough to have the confidence they need to feel good about the sacrifices that are required of them. But when I think of being bought in, I think of the time I watch spending film, the hours I spend away from what would be my girlfriend or the dogs or, playing Xbox or whatever you might be doing otherwise. These are sacrifices that 18-year-olds fresh out of high school are being asked to make. And the perspective is needed to see, listen, man, you're going to sacrifice this, but in 15 years, you're going to remember these games, these stories, these relationships forever. Or in 2 weeks, you're going to be like, man, those extra 5 minutes of film, the extra hour of film, the extra rep on the field made the difference in one particular play that made the difference in the whole game. And so the perspective on that case and being bought in on that type of level, I think in my opinion, that's what it kind of means to me.
It's the little things that become the big things, right? It's the, a little extra here doesn't seem like that much at the time, but it will pay off when it matters. When it's in crunch time in a game like that, maybe some of those things, a little extra film study, a little extra training, what have you, a little extra practice, might be the difference in pulling off a crazy win late in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Jacob, my man, I know you got to get running here, but we're looking forward to the start of Big Sky Conference play going up against Idaho State this weekend. Go get them, my friend, okay?
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
That's Jacob Sermon. We catch up with him every single Monday here to start us off on the right foot. And let's see if those Bears can go get their first win of the season against Idaho State. 30 minutes after the hour, let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
What's up, Hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back in to The Whole Show, powered by Chevron from the Aloe Fiber Studios, just 34 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Shout out to Jacob for coming in here and talking to us, as he does each and every week. This is a guy that he's going to get up, he's going to show up, he's going to be in studio, ready to talk some football. Even though the non-conference schedules did not go the way the Bears wanted it to, now you start on with the second season, and it sounds cliche and everything, but This is kind of how it goes right now, especially as Ed Lamb is trying to change the culture of this team, change everything about this team. To say I'm shocked about how the non-conference schedule went, I'm not shocked. I mean, you got some good football teams there. Especially Washington State's much better than I thought they were going to be. One of the top teams in the country right now. So now you got to try to get some positives. You got to try to find a way with Idaho State. You got to find a way to see if you can get a dub, see that ball go through the hoop, so to speak, this weekend.
Yeah, and I love that what he keeps mentioning, and I keep trying to tell all these fans out here, is perspective. Having a perspective about what this program is undertaking, where they're at 3 weeks ago and where they're at now, I think they're a much improved team. I think their confidence is up, and you want to see that going into Big Sky play, because it's not an easy conference schedule. But I know we said it last week, the Bears want to make an impact in the Big Sky. They want to show up to the Big Sky table and say, hey, we're here.
Yeah, they do. And maybe they could start this thing off on the right foot this weekend, and we'll have that coverage for you right here with Blake Olson and Matt Gaider. Did you watch the showdown, Angels? Did you watch that thing?
Was that on Saturday night?
That was a Saturday night game.
Is that what all the commotion was in the neighborhood?
Oh, my goodness.
People in the streets and all kinds of stuff going on. Must have been a big game or something.
I guess, be careful what you ask for. My whole life doing this show, ever since I started doing the show, I begged for a Rocky Mountain Showdown to have juice.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Too much juice.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, dude, on my Twitter feed or whatever, I just reshared the Shador eye poke, and I just said, hey, those of you wanting Henry Blackburn ejected might want to look at this. That's all I said. Wild. The comments, the hate. I was called a racist over the weekend. People were called. I have a picture of me and my son and I on my profile picture calling my child out, saying, I hope your son experiences dirty play. I've never seen anything like this before. I've been called out for idiot takes and stuff a lot doing this show, but never to... Somebody called me MAGA for that. I was called MAGA because I shared a picture of a guy poking another dude's eye? I don't understand. It's wild to me. Like,
welcome to college football rivalries, but also...
Different.
This is way different than anything I've seen, and I am a fan of one of the biggest rivalries in college football. This is wild.
And again, we got to talk about the Henry Blackburn hit. It was a bad hit. Should he have been ejected? I'm kind of like, they didn't eject him, so I agree with that decision. If they would have ejected him, I wouldn't have flipped out because it was a bad hit. It was bang bang, but it wasn't a good hit. Now Travis Hunter's going to be out for what, 3 weeks? It sounds like a bad injury, man. I don't want injuries to happen. And you know, some guy is telling me I'm promoting dirty play. Hell no, I don't promote dirty play.
I don't think Jay Norvell would have sat down with Blackburn after that game and told him, hey, good job.
No.
Say, hey, man, we can't do that. That cost us a penalty. That cost us a drive. That cost us a game, whatever. Norvell knows, and Blackburn knows. Yeah, I can't make a hit like that.
Yeah, I mean, but again, what's coming with it? We can all agree on this, though. It's a bad hit.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
Worst thing you've ever seen in football?
Nope.
I mean, we've seen late hits.
I've seen way later hits that end in career or season-ending injuries.
Yeah, we've seen bad stuff. Hell, the game right before the showdown, whoever that was,
Tennessee, Florida.
Yeah. You got a guy at the end of the game literally putting up the dukes.
They're doing their best little Fighting Irish impression.
Yeah, we're getting
leprechaun.
We're getting ready to throw fists, and there's still time left on the clock. There's a penalty there. And so the idea that Henry Blackburn should be, like, dismissed, we've had him on this show several times to have him dismissed from football now. And some of the really scary takes are going after him. Basically, there's Twitter folks on here, and this had millions of views on it, going saying, hey, Henry Blackburn was accused of rape in high school. And that's not Henry Blackburn. That was not the guy. It was a different Fairview player. And I'm not going to say his name either because that story is gone and done, and I'm not going there. But now you're talking serious allegations because of a football hit. You're digging into some past you don't understand. This is where it gets dangerous.
I can understand the naivete of college football rivalries and what it really looks like. It's not just, I don't like that school across the state. When it comes down to football games and the two teams are competitive, you get games like this.
Yeah.
You get intensity. Mm-hmm. You get 15-plus personal fouls. And just take a second, if CU had done that to a CSU player, would your reaction be the same?
Probably not. I mean, not a lot of... And again, there are plenty of logical CU fans that were saying, yeah, both things were bad. Henry's hit was bad. Shador poking Mo Kamara's eyes, that was bad too.
We cannot act like there wasn't trash talk on the field.
Dude, and I'm sorry. And listen, I'm not one of those guys that's like, oh, you asked for it. Travis Hunter was talking some mad crap. He was talking some mad crap.
I saw more Travis Hunter pregame stuff than I saw him in the actual game.
Yeah, he was talking a lot, and I'm sorry, but what that does sometimes, that lights fires. You know, when Kevin was on, Kevin Lytle, I was like, so is the Jay Norvell comment, he was of the mindset that didn't do anything. I'm of the mindset comments like that make you hit a little bit harder.
Well,
make
you know, you push a little bit harder. Is when you're in warm-ups, you're just trying to warm up, get ready, get the feel for the environment, and then this stuff starts happening. You go back into the locker room and you're pissed because now you're sitting there for 5 minutes thinking, I can't wait to get back out there and hit somebody.
Yeah.
It's and a, it's fired a violent them up sport. To start the game. Yeah. And I think CSU needed that energy to start off.
I had asked, you know, I said, hey, Jay Norvell said what he said, but will his team back him up? And they did. Were there too many penalties? 176 yards in penalties? Oh, my gosh. That's
too
much.
I've never seen that many penalty yards.
No, and I don't know about
probably a lot of that was just because there were a lot of personal fouls and 15 yards.
It was nuts, dude. I
can tell you're exhausted.
I'm mentally exhausted from social media because I've never seen anything personally on my end getting attacked the way I mean, it's fine. Just don't go after my kid. If you want to say I'm an idiot and I never played football and all that stuff, but I've never seen anything like that. And it's like, is that Primetime's fan base? Is that the new CU fan base? I don't know. I haven't witnessed anything quite like this.
Did you go to bed after this game or did you stay up?
I stayed up. I watched a lot of the post game stuff.
It was about 1:20, and I'm like, all right, I didn't realize it was 1 a.m.
Oh, I didn't either. I was reading into everything, and then you see Twitter just going crazy. And again, I don't change my style of tweeting. That's kind of the stuff. I wasn't saying Henry Blackburn made a legal hit. I didn't say that once. I just said everybody that I'm seeing, including Denver media, was all over Henry Blackburn. It started to piss me off a little bit, and I was like, not one of you guys mentioned the Shador eye poke. Are they the same thing? No. One could argue the hit was worse. One could argue the eye poke was worse because the eye poke is not a football play. That's not a bang-bang play. That's what we always say when there's a late hit or whatever. It's a bang-bang play. That was calculated. You walked up to somebody and shoved your hands through his face mask.
Oh, and it's okay to critique and criticize the Sanders. It's okay. They're not going to come after you on social media if you say something about it. They may keep a receipt, but as long as you don't go to the press conference, you're not going to get called out.
Sanders might not, but these guys are.
It is okay to say, hey, Shador Sanders, you did something really stupid right there. You won the game and you had a great game, but you did something really dumb right there.
Yeah, and acknowledging that. We got to acknowledge both sides of that. And again, it was a fantastic game. CU wins this thing in double overtime, 43-35. Shador Sanders is my player of the week, presented by Zvi Brewing. And I know this is a controversial pick. But Angel, he drove the length of the field and tied this game and forced the overtime. So I'm giving Shador Sanders that, and he won. Now, Torrey Horton was unbelievable. 16 receptions, 133 yards, and a touchdown. Oh, and he threw for a touchdown, too. Like, that was amazing.
Fort Horton Reed.
Yeah, that was a perfect throw to Dallin Holker. I love that connection, by the way.
That was great.
It was amazing.
Big play.
But I'm going to, Angel, if none of the teams I cover win over the weekend, then yeah, I'm going to pick out stats or whatever. But I'm typically going to go with someone who won.
What would be your top five players from that game?
Okay. Listen, Torrey was probably the best player in this game. He had the best game.
I'd agree.
Hell, he got Snoop Dogg following him after the game. Messaged him. I would say Torrey Horton, maybe in no particular order. Let's go Torrey, Shador. Shiloh made two monster plays on defense. Is Dallin Holker up there? I mean, he had six catches for 109 yards and two touchdowns. He's got to be in there.
He's got to be in there.
Who's next?
Kamara.
Yeah. Dude, that's an NFL guy. Right? There's so many NFL guys on that field on Saturday.
I mean, dude went out with injuries three times and came back and got a sack after each one.
He was going through it mentally. He just looked like he was going through because he kept getting hurt, and then he came up with a sack. And then, of course, you had Buffs fans that were like, oh, he's delaying the game by pretending he's hurt and all that stuff. What? Now you can
he's
read
minds?
He's
had a great game. You can rest for 30 seconds.
Oh, come on. Yeah, he was everywhere on the field. So you go Torrey, Dallin, Mo Kamara, Shador Sanders, Shiloh Sanders. And then don't forget Braden Fowler-Nicolosi. He threw
BFN,
three picks, but I think it's safe to say he earned his initials, right? BFN?
Yeah, he played with a lot of moxie, and I know we talked about that a lot going into this game, and I know Kevin Lytle mentioned it on Rams Weekly, but he showed that kind of gunslinger attitude a little bit.
Yeah.
He didn't really let the CU defense really fluster him, or, you know, he wasn't panicking really. He seemed very calm.
He bounced right back. So he almost threw a bad pick. He's going down to the ground, almost threw a pick. It was dropped. The very next play, throws the pick six. It happens. It's sports. It's football. But what I like is his bounce back. He bounced back. He didn't hang his head.
They had a couple of really good drives in this game.
They did. I'll tell you what, I'm confident in CSU, but they gotta win this weekend. What do they got? Middle Tennessee?
Mm-hmm.
Right there in the middle of Tennessee. They've got to win that game. That is a must win.
There will be eyes on CSU this weekend.
Yeah, and I know Buffs fans are like, no one's ever gonna talk about the Rams again.
They're talking about them.
Hey, Buffs fans, listen. The better CSU does now, the better it makes you look. Because that team took you to double overtime in a game you were supposed to win by 25.
We don't want to get to December and the committee is looking back at, so what happened September 15th?
Yeah. They struggled against CSU. Oh, wait. CSU's a good team. They beat this team, this team, this team. I got a lot of thoughts on this one. The Broncos, that was a very secondary feel to me watching that game. And then you lose.
I think the crowd felt that way, too.
Yeah, they were out the door. They stayed up too late watching the Rocky Mountain Showdown. They're like, we're not staying here for this.
There's no thunder. No thunder was gone.
The person that rides thunder had a previous engagement of some sort.
How?
I don't know.
Unless you're getting married or having a kid.
She was in some kind of thing, contest maybe? I don't know. But
nobody else can ride thunder.
I guess the crowd noise and stuff messes with the horse, so you got to have a pro.
Horses.
So, yeah.
Tanner could have done it.
But I saw Miles running out. It's like, Broncos are just like, they're getting Rockies treatment right now. You better win now because everybody's going to.
The Rockies had a decent weekend.
Yeah, we're going to forget about the Broncos here. I've never seen the Rocky Mountain Showdown like that, ever.
No, I was telling you, like, I grew up watching the Iron Bowl, and every game is always like that. And I got that sense from it, from the Rocky Mountain Showdown. It was intense. The fans were into it. The social media interactions during the game were great. I think CSU really surprised a lot of people. They shocked me for sure. I was half a second thinking they were going to win that game, and maybe one stop.
I thought they were going to.
Last drive gets it. Maybe you go for two and win it.
Should he have gone for two in that second overtime?
In that moment, there was like a 30% chance, like in my head, saying, go for it, go for it.
Just go underneath route again. Just run that same play.
Do something.
I mean, CU could not stop that crossing route, the little underneath pattern. You couldn't. They couldn't stop it.
It was just Torrey Horton every time.
Same play every time.
And he was so consistent at getting it, getting that edge, and turning it upfield for a first down.
Yeah, you got to have the player that can complete, that can run that. It can't just be anybody. You got to have speed.
Who's their other receiver? Simmons?
Justice Ross Simmons.
He had a good game.
He had a good game, too. There were some stars in this game, man. I mean, there were just big moments.
The line was very solid, I'd say.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they were getting – this offensive line has had a lot of questions, to start the season of how they would hold up, and I think it seems new and improved. And BFN handled this well. You know, it was an aggressive offense right off the bat. It was a fun game. There was just so much of the negative junk afterward and still going on right now, by the way. If you want to go follow me on Twitter for some fun, light reading, at Hole Show.
Buffs fans, remember you got the Ducks this weekend. Don't forget.
Coming in is 19.
Get caught up looking behind you.
Are they 19
did drop
and
a
half?
Spot in the poll.
Did they really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is what happens. You better hope CSU goes on and wins games. 19-point dogs against Oregon is what that's coming in as right now.
Whoa. I mean, I think obviously without Travis Hunter, that hurts you on both sides of the ball. But I think the last 2 weeks, Nebraska and CSU have put a lot on tape that can really expose the CU team.
Yeah, you could argue that. Now it's 21. 21-point dogs going into Eugene, Oregon this weekend. 11:50 the time. Game beer of the week is from Left Hand Brewing. It's a milk stout, and it's we're getting cooler weather. Perfect beer for that. And also this week's tasting at On the Rocks Liquor is the fellas from Shine Shop will be out there on Friday from 4 to 6. That's On the Rocks Liquor. Make your next celebration on the rocks. 10 minutes until the top of the hour. We'll take a short break here. It's The Hole Show, powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
KFKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, Nugget fans, this is Coach Bowen of the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
If you smell what the Rock is cooking.
Yeah, you had the Rock there. Little Wayne or Lil Wayne or whatever. It was a crazy environment, man. It was absolutely wild. SS Ram fan. Torrey Horton is the Rhesus player of the week, the Rhesus Senior Bowl player of the week. Not any of your poll, your daily poll choices. Torrey Horton was great. He was amazing, Angel, but kind of the unwritten rule here is I'm typically going with a winning team, the player from the winning team. And I thought one of Air Force's running backs was freaking solid. And Shedeur Sanders, game-winning drive or game-tying drive, almost the length of the field. Like, those are big things. Torrey's up there, but if the Rams won, yeah, Torrey Horton's player of the game.
Best player on the winning team.
Typically.
Best player overall on that night was Torrey Horton, no question.
I would say that, yeah, sure. But I'm going to go with when a team wins the Super Bowl, how many times is the MVP on the losing team? I think it's happened a couple times.
You want it to be Torrey. You tell him, hey, go do the same thing this weekend.
Yeah.
And win.
Yeah. I think, again, I'm not like, I can't please anybody. Can't please anybody anymore.
What? You're being pushed onto the Rams side by Buffs fans,
yeah.
And then you're being pushed away by Rams fans.
Yeah.
Nobody wants Breed.
Yeah, well, and I don't know about that, but
I don't know if I want any of you.
I got plenty of Rams fans that got my back. It's just you guys can't be happy with anything right now. And there are some things to be happy about. You know, CSU put up a—
You had a chance. It was right there for you, and you thought you could, you know— You would have all the smack talk on Monday ready to go, but it happens. They're in your place next season. Go win. Go pack out Canvas
you
and
got,
win.
Well, yeah. That game's going to be wild, too. Glad we got a year. I'm glad we got some time here. 11:57 the time. I got the lunch rush coming up next. More on the Rocky Mountain Showdown. Tight-knit brewing poll question of the day. Who's to blame for the 0-2 start for the Broncos? Coaching, defense, lack of playmakers, quarterback play? Go vote at thewholeshow.com. Plenty to discuss. Kevin Lytle will join me to recap Jay Norvell's press conference. We'll see if anything interesting comes from that. I'm sure there will be. A lot to discuss. It's The Whole Show, powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.